morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone today? Ah, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. Such a great lesson today. I want to thank Minister Nedrick for sitting in my stead last week. And we're going to continue our studies out of the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 6 and going to look at verses 12 through 20 right quick this morning. Just as a warning, some of you may be having, your children may be in earshot. Today's lesson is age appropriate. And just keep that in mind. And any explanations, I'll leave them up to you, any that I don't cover this morning. But it is a subject that must be covered because, first of all, our writers wrote it. And second of all, it's the Word of God. And it's something that we need, especially in light of the culture in which we currently live. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. For those of you that are in the basic doctrine class, you might want to take some notes because we're going to talk about a little about sin today. And so I'm quite sure you can get a few test questions answered in my dissertation this morning. And with that in mind, I'm going to have Judge Davies. Judge Davies is going to be our presiding judge today. So Sister Pillow, please take control of the hosting. But Judge, I am going to make my case to you today regarding members of Christ, just as Paul did. We saw, and Brother Nedrick took us through Christ as the solid foundation. And he shared with us, Sister Ogletree, that Christ is the solid foundation, that any relationship in Christ, the body of Christ, is built on a sound foundation. But also, Christ didn't use any shabby materials in building the church. He built a solid, good materials, and in doing so, it's his church, it's his body, it's his temple, it is Christ, built on Christ, secured by Christ, and Christ is a sensible builder. That's what we saw last week. That was in chapter 3. But then there's 4, 5, and now 6. And in 5 and 6, Paul begins to share with this church at Corinth some of the issues. And first of all, he deals with individual sin, a specific sin, immorality, and how the church should deal with that, this body that has been built on a solid foundation. And then he shares with them how it is that you should act within the church in terms of lawsuits. And I never understood, Judge Davies, why it is that these verses between talking about an individual sin and going to court, how did this all relate? But then we come to chapter 6 and verse 12, and Paul shifts from that instruction and starts dealing with sexual immorality again. And the authors have entitled our lesson, Members of Christ. And so Paul plans to make his case to this church at Corinth about the body, about this thing that belongs to Christ, built by Christ, secured by Christ, a sensible builder. We live in a culture where we don't like to talk about this thing called sin, and especially some sins. We live in a very permissive society, Judge, and it is on that basis that I come to you and I appeal to you this morning, just as Paul appealed to the church at Corinth, to share with them that you may think you got it all going on. You may think that you're just living the life, living the culture. The culture is counter Christ. So if you're living in the culture today, it's counter Christ. There are things that some of us will accept, and then there are other things we won't accept. You know, if we're going to talk about, you know, somebody not tithing, robbing God, you know, we say, yeah, you know, that's right. But when we make it at a very personal level, Judge Davies, you know, we tend to withdraw. The culture in which Paul is speaking to, Sister Lovelace, is no different than the one that we are dealing with today. It is no different. As a matter of fact, you're talking about, you think the world is bad. I mean, these characters in Rome at the time, Sister Holly, they were some bad actors. Nero is the emperor. Nero was openly homosexual. Nero was openly perverted. Nero went to the extent of taking a young man, emasculating him, and calling him his wife. Then turning around, disposing of him, and making himself the wife of another man. Nero was perverted. And it is in this backdrop, it is in the context of this culture that Paul comes and teaches this lesson. Paul says, Judge Davis, verse 12 for me.
Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Paul says that liberty is of the utmost importance. And there's a lot of things that he's permitted to do. There are a lot of things that are lawful, that can be done because we have this freedom. He says, but everything, just because it can be done, it shouldn't be done. That you should not become slave to the very thing that you've been saved from. You see, Paul is going to go into this knowledge thing in a minute, but before we get there, let me tell you what Paul is trying to say, is that you've been saved from something for something. From something for something. Why would you go back to where you came from? And why are you permitting certain practices in your congregation among the body of Christ that though the secular world may condone it, Paul is here saying, you shouldn't. The secular world condemns your lifestyle, but doesn't dare condemn its own. they'll condemn a Christian. They'll laugh at those who say, I want to preserve the intimacy of marriage between a man and a woman until that time in which I get married. They'll laugh and joke at that and call you square and weird while endorsing their own lifestyle of perversion. And Paul says, I have the freedom to do it, but it ain't necessarily good for me. And then he starts with, he says, all these little cute slogans that y'all come up with, you know, in the church today, those cute little slogans, ain't nothing biblical about them. Verse 12, Brother Davis.
Verse 13, meats for the belly and the belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power.
It's a cute little saying that meats for the belly and belly for meats. But God is going to destroy all of that. Here's what verse 13 is saying. Verse 13 is saying, this man, all those crazy slogans that are anti-Christ, that go against the teachings of truth. Because he says, you know, you shouldn't become addicted to anything, to food, to sex, or anything else. Addiction is the abomination. But all of these things are good for you. Food is good. Intimacy is good. But there are boundaries. And Paul is saying here, church, you've stepped outside the boundaries. You've included some things in the church that simply shouldn't be in the church. That no blood-bought Christian, no blood-bought believer should ever condone doing the things that you're doing. Because this body belongs to Christ. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, God is going to raise this body. Now, I know some of you are going to think you don't care nothing about this body that's put down in the ground. But this same body that you're buried with, that's the same body that's going to get up. There's a one-to-one correlation. There's a one-to-one correlation between the body that is put in the ground and the body that Christ is going to raise. So you are a steward of the body. And Paul seems to be suggesting here that any immorality, any sin affects the body. We learn in basic Christian doctrine that the body is a tripartite. In other words, it is three parts. I think I heard Judge Davis say on the other night that the body is, body consists of body, soul, and spirit. This body is important. And just like Jesus' physical body was raised from the dead, your body is going to be raised from the dead. You ought to take care of the body. You're not just spirit. Your body, soul, and spirit. But then, Judge, he goes on to say something. Say all your little cute little sayings, put them aside, you know, live, drink, and be merry for the night we die, or tomorrow we die. You know, I'm going to eat what I can and stomach what I can. He says, God's going to destroy all of that. That's temporal. There'll come a day when eating won't be of utmost importance to you. There'll come a day when sexual intimacy will not be your prime source of pleasure. There come that day. Well, David, verse 15.
Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid.
Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Don't you know? He's going to go and say something in a few minutes that should make all of us nauseated with grief, with shame. Your body is joined with Christ. So why would you take your body and the blood sacrifice of the cross and join it with a harlot? This is very specific. See, because in the church at Corinth, one of the things that continued, that they just, it was a part of the culture. You know, the government permitted it. They had come out of idolatry, which worshiped all kinds of gods and goddesses. The goddess of Aphrodite, you saw it throughout the temples there, that there were 1,000 prostitutes hired in temple worship. When that word harlot there, it's literally prostitutes. Would you take your body that has been joined with Christ and join it with a harlot? He says, God forbid. Now, folks, you can believe what you want to believe. You know, there are some sins that we say, I would never do that. But then there's some sins that we embrace. And this is what Paul is saying here. You know, you can't talk about sin unless you talk about it in its totality. All the things that we can do. And as a matter of fact, he had just made a list in verse 11. He had made a list of all the sins that says, if you actively participate in this, you will not be in the kingdom of God. You don't belong to the kingdom of God. If you can do this without any conscience, if you can do these kinds of things, drunkenness, thievery, prostitution, sodomy, if you can do all of that, you don't belong to the kingdom. Without a conscience, without asking for forgiveness, you can just accept this as a part of your worship? He says, God forbid. He says, no. And then he goes on to explain in verse 16, why? But notice one thing in 15 before you go there. He says, no. Don't you have knowledge? Isn't it amazing, Sister Pillow, that we live in a time where people, they thirst. They want knowledge. They crave knowledge. They are really addicted to knowledge. They want to know. But you know what? They're allergic to wisdom. They want knowledge, but they don't want wisdom. See, because wisdom, not like knowledge. Knowledge is the acquisition of information. Wisdom is the ability to apply it. And wisdom won't guarantee that you won't have any problems, but wisdom will ensure that you're not a part of the problem. Yeah, I have wisdom. And you can have all the knowledge you want about anatomy and all of that. But you know what? We crave knowledge, and we live in a time when a nominee to the Supreme Court can't tell you what a woman is. This is a sad time. Don't you know that your bodies, Don't you know that God is the creator of your bodies? That you were made in the image of God? So you are the image bearers? So these image bearers are now going to join themselves with a harlot? God forbid. Paul says no. Brother Davis, verse 16.
Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
You smart folk, you don't know that anytime you lay down in intimacy with anyone, you're becoming one flesh. And you take the spirit that is in you and join it to that flesh. Oh, y'all better hear me this morning. You won't like me. It won't be cards and letters this week, I guarantee you. Not in the affirmative. Because see, this strikes at the culture. The culture says, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. The church can't tell you who to sock it to. You're your own man. You're your own woman. And what it does, Paul says, that a lot of things are permissive, but they're not good for me. And he says, in this area, it's not good. The very thing that God designed to be pleasurable and that he said was very good, the intimacy between a man and a woman, you are now perverting it. And so since God ordained it, that means that any relationship that you have, husband and wife, it's always a triangular relationship. It means that God is right there because he's the one that ordained it. So now you're trying to introduce a fourth voice. And that's what messes up the relationship. This is why the fall, this is what it did. It cursed all of that. God says in Genesis 3, for this reason, a man shall leave his mama and daddy's house and cleave to his wife. The idea of marriage, the idea of intimacy was God's. God said, be fruitful and multiply. So he stated what marriage is, and then he gives a reason for it. He says, be fruitful and multiply. So it's not that God is a prude and don't want you to have liberty and pleasure. No, he just says that there's got to be boundaries. And it is to be between a man and a woman who are married. See, they like that man or woman because many folk, you see these guys pontificating on TV about how they abhor homosexuality and all of that, but they don't say anything about adultery. The very first, in verse 13, it says that this activity is not for the body of Christ. This activity of just sexual pleasure, just to be doing it, just because you have the liberty. And see, notice how society portrays it. It always portrays it as when you're single and you're doing your own thing and doing what you want to do, you have such freedom. But yet when you get married, you're confined. You see how messed up, how perverted we've made this thing? If God says, who are you going to believe? If God says you're free, and as a matter of fact, in chapter 7, I don't think we'll be doing it this quarter, but in chapter 7 is our marriage counseling chapter. It tells you what goes on between a man and a woman. And it doesn't describe any other type of intimacy. So who are you going to believe? The spirit that dwells within you or the world outside you. Whoever you slept with, you've joined your flesh to them. And if you were saved when you did it, you took Christ along with you. You drug him into that affair. That's the harsh reality of what Paul is teaching this morning. Judge Your Honor, we've all looked at sin and we've winked. This may not be yours. This area may not be yours. But remember, there was a verse 11 long before there was a verse 12. And that list is not exhausted. Just because your sin is not my sin and my sin is not your sin doesn't mean that you're sin. And here it says, don't use your bodies for immorality. It needs to be taught. And you're wondering why some people are so concerned about gender identity and all that kind of stuff being taught so young. What do children know about that? Other than what they've been taught. Don't you know? The little boy is asking. Yeah, we know a lot of things. But the more we know, the foolisher we get. Because we are very addicted to knowledge, but we're allergic to wisdom. Wisdom only comes from God. And if God tells you the boundaries that are set on your bodies, the builder sets the boundaries. You have a problem with that? Verse 17 and 18.
Verse 17 and 18. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Uh-oh. Judge, Your Honor, do we enter our plea right now? Because, Your Honor, you read, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You don't have multiple partners in a spirit. You have you and Christ. Your spirit and his spirit are one. So I saw some of the flinches when I said that you take Christ in with you on these fleshly encounters. Well, flinch no more, because I said it, because it's in the word. Any of those areas that Christ has not endorsed, that the builder has not endorsed. Remember last week, Minister Nedrick told you that the builder used good material. He didn't use no junk. He made a nice place for him to dwell. Why are you going to junk it up? Oh, but loving relationships, I don't believe that a God would criticize loving relationship because he says that. Let me tell you something, folks. Love does not mean, should not be construed to mean that you agree with the world. And disagreement should not be construed that you hate the world. Just because you can love someone and tell them the truth. You can love someone. Matter of fact, that is the greatest act of love, showing them the truth. Don't hide the truth from people just to reach agreement. But just because you disagree doesn't give you the right to hate them. And it doesn't give them the right to hate you. But flee. He now says, flee. Brother Davis, I think he said, flee.
Sister Dorothy, I think he said flee. Flee fornication. Flee it. Avoid it. Don't put yourself in those situations to do it. That's one of the best ways. Another, flee means run. You run away from that kind of stuff. And you don't talk about the devil made you. The devil, that's a lie. The devil ain't made you do nothing. You did exactly what you wanted to do. You had a Luther Ingram moment. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. That's exactly what you did. But Paul here says, you got to flee that thing. And he says, flee fornication. For all of those who were hopped up on the homosexual act, he's saying, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth again his own body. So in other words, the very act of fornication, that behavior is a sin against the body. This body that is going to be resurrected. If you're a Christian, it's a sin against the body. And Paul here says, flee that type of behavior. You can't become addicted if you don't participate in it. And you know what? It was designed to be addicted. Sexual intimacy was designed to be addicted. But it had a boundary. It was meant as a behavior between a man and a woman. That's why in chapter 7, you guys are going to read it. You can run ahead and read it because we won't cover it. But he's going to say, you know, when a man and woman are married, it's the two becoming one. They're talking about flesh. And he says that even in your most disagreeable moments, you should not restrict each other in that area. Oh, y'all better help me. Y'all acting like I ain't teaching. Y'all acting like I just told you that your portfolios just fell 5,000 points. I'm giving something that gives you life. Because Paul says that this is a killer and it should be avoided. And the reason why so many relationships are messed up now is because what we did before Christ and what some have done after Christ. Because you will never be able to recapture that moment. It's addictive. It's just like being on heroin. It's just like being on crack. You're trying to return to that initial state. Flee it. Verse 19.
Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own.
Paul wants to say it another way. Okay. He wants to say it another way. Sister Alice, he wants to say it another way. Paul says, no, don't you know that your body, I'm talking about yours, the one who's, hallelujah, I'm blessed and highly favored. The one who can talk all the religious talk, the one who can say, oh yes, I'm steeped in the Lord. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in my coming and I'm blessed in my going. I'm the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, right. You. Your body is the building that the builder built. And in it, he carves out the Holy of Holies for him. He comes and he resides in your body. You believers, ye who are saved, been washed, sanctified, justified. The Holy Ghost resides there. So when he says avoid all these bad behaviors, it's because you're taking God himself along your pitiful journey. You're introducing him to all those partners and all those illicit relationships. You who are saved. You did that. Oh, no. Oh, the judge would never steal. Oh, no. The deacon would never lie. Oh, no. Oh, but they have done the unthinkable. Because that's what sin does. It takes us where we don't want to go and shouldn't go. But the thing about it, it keeps us there longer than it should. Then we want to stay. All while the Holy Ghost is in us. Because you know we teach. Salvation is eternal. You don't lose no salvation. So what Paul is addressing here is saying, don't you know? Maybe you don't know. Should be put in parentheses. Don't you know? Because if you knew, why are you doing this? Why do you permit this? Just because the judge down at municipal court, I'm talking about Judge Davis, I'm talking about the one down in municipal court, said, it's all right for you to participate in this behavior and nobody should criticize you for it. Doesn't mean the judge is right. But God, the ultimate judge, the one who will raise his body, the one who stated in Hebrews 9, it is appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. And we're not talking this morning about you've done it and you've repented for me. We're talking about a behavior that has become an addicted behavior, a pattern. Paul says in verse 11, you have no part in the kingdom. So you just go on and do what you want to do. If you're going to hell anyway, you might as well enjoy it here because you won't be enjoying it any other time. All you can do here. But I guarantee you, in hell, there is not one person who will commit an adulterous or fornicating, homosexual, thieving act. In hell will be some of the best, most controlled people in the world or in eternity. Because Judge Davis already told you, the stomach and the belly will be destroyed. You won't have no taste for that. You won't desire that. And all Christ is saying here through the voice of Paul is that I'm coming back. And I'm going to inspect the quarters in which I've lived. And you can be junked up if you want to. You can have all this stuff crowding in there, but the righteous judge will clean it up in ways that we won't like. But then finally, in verse 20, Judge Davis, is my final point. Read it for our hearing.
Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
The reason why you want to flee fornication and all these other addictive, immoral acts is because of what Christ did on the cross. Your body is not your body. You can't talk about, this is my body. Your body, the body of a believer, was purchased at the precious price of Christ's blood on Calvary. You were bought with a price that no man could ever pay. No mere man. It only took the God-man in order to purchase this body. And therefore, this body should issue forth glory. Because remember, we were made to give God glory. What kind of glory you think a Christian is giving Christ when they participate in all the acts that have been talked about this morning? That's not glory. Your body is to give God glory. That's what it was created for. And that's what it will be resurrected for. And as a matter of fact, your resurrected body will be called a glorified body. Oh, you better take notes, basic doctrine. It will be called a glorified body. But the culture we live in, I want to leave you with what they think. But Davis, you got a Bible handy there with you, your Bible? So you go to Romans for me. Romans chapter 1. And I want you to read the last verse. The last verse. Sister Burris, good to see you this morning. Good to see you this morning. But I must have them read chapter 1, verse 32. Verse 32. Would you read for us? Because here's the judge's pronouncement. Brother Davis?
Romans 1, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
You heard the judge. That in the end, it's just death. Death is separation from God. In Romans, the word tells us that many of you know better, but you're not doing better. And you will be judged for that. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll see you guys next week, Lord willing. Bless you and keep you.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye. Bye, Barbara Johnson. Bye,
everybody.
Week. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a good
bye.
Week.
Bye. Have a blessed Sunday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good
day,
Elizabeth.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Cora.
Bye, everybody.